Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Turn with me to John 15. The Gospel of John 15. You know, we all want to be successful, right? We all want our kids to have success, to be productive and in their lives. And we all want that. And to have success. Now, I looked that word up, success, in the dictionary, because there's a lot of, everyone has their own opinion on success. So let's just see what the Webster has to say about this. It defines success like this: gaining of wealth, fame, or rank. See, that's the world's view. Wealth is number one. If you got money, you must be doing something right. You must listen. That just because you have wealth is not God's means or ways to say that you have success. Like Pastor Mark talking about seed time and harvest. No, we believe God for the best. We all want a rich supply. But God, His measurements, He does it in fruit bearing. It's the fruit that you bear for the kingdom. It's not wealth, fame. Come on, you look at the Hollywood, the stars. They are one messed up group. They are messed up. So that's not the example. This is our example. And in John 15, he's going to talk a lot about bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. That's the measurement that we should go by, not the world's view. In other words, we got to stick with the word, right? So turn with me. Well, you are there, Luke chapter 15. John 15, okay. If you would, turn with me. Okay, we're not going to start with verse 1 first. We're going to go down to verse 16. Then we'll back up. This is God's view. He said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you," or you could say ordained, King James uses ordained, "that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that what..." Now you're going to tie this into your prayer life, and "whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." So his desire in your prayer life, not just to have some fruit, he wants you to have much fruit. This is how the kingdom operates. He wants you. So why? Because this glorifies... We're going to get into this. Why? Because this glorifies the Father. When we take His word, we stand on His word, and we ask in the name of Jesus, based on the word, we're going to get answers. This brings glory to the Father. So yes, God is very much interested in your prayer life. He wants you to have abundance, an overflow in your prayer life, in every area of your life. He wants you to have fruit. Now, in Luke chapter 15, verse 1, before we even get to verse 1, John 15, I'm going to get this right. Before we get started in John 15, this is a continuation of John 14. 13. These are the last hours. You know, we go from 14 to 15 to 16. We're talking hours, not days. It's bang, 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 bang. So in 14, you go back to 14, chapter 14, John, he's giving words of comfort to his disciples. In other words, things are about to change. It's not going to be like it has been in the last 3.5 years. Things are changing. And he talks about the comfort of the Holy Spirit. He begins to talk to them about the things that's going to come, well, how the Holy Spirit's going to work. And of course, they don't understand all this. He's setting the stage. Verse 15. We're going to start with verse 5. So you got to remember, he's about to be crucified. So here's the questions. So how are they going to deal with the persecutions? How are they going to advance the kingdom of God? How are they going to fulfill the call of God upon their lives? How are they going to do this? Jesus gives the perfect illustration. He gives them, boys, this is how it's going to be. Verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you might as well just go ahead and underline this if you don't have it underlined, because it's still true today. For without me, you can do nothing. So Jesus is giving an illustration how it's going to be. This, guys, I'm the vine, you're the branch. What does the branch do? It has one big job to do. But first of all, it has to abide. If it's abiding, guess what it's going to do? It's going to draw. Who's doing the work? It's the vine, not the branch. Now see, now he's trying to get something across. Boys, you can't do this. You're not going to be able to fulfill the call in your life. You're not going to be able to advance the kingdom. You're not going to be do these things without the source. The vine, Jesus said, I'm the vine. He's saying something. He's saying something to us tonight. He's the source. Yes. Don't get the two turned around. I've known too many Christians. They do this. I'll get into that a little bit later. But he's the source. The vine is the source. Jesus said himself. Back it up. Go back to John 14:10. This is how Jesus operated. John 14:10. Do not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Now get this. The Father who dwells in me does the works. You get that? It's the Father. That's how Jesus operated. He did not operate within his own self. He said it was the Father who dwells in me. Saints, we have the greater one in us. We're going to do the works because of the greater one, not because of our strength. Forget that. It's his strength. One of the things, you know, it's such a beautiful illustration. Not only does the branch draw from the vine, which is its main job, but if it will continue, it will automatically bear fruit. Number two, the branch is totally dependent on the vine in every area of its life. This is what we're talking about, lifestyle. The branches are who? Us. Say this, I'm a branch. And a branch, saints, listen, as long as you, and we're going to get into this, as long as you abide and you draw. Now, I know, now we're going to get, I'm getting ahead of myself, but it is such a beautiful picture of the branch and the vine. It's about surrender. It's about rest. It's about fellowship. I mean, I got trees all over my yard, and I like to look at trees. I like to plant trees, and I look at those branches. They're just abiding. They're having a good time. They're not stressed out. They're not all worked up. They're just abiding. They're doing what they're supposed to do. The world system is just the opposite. The world system says, you've got to do it. You've got to do it. And if you want to get ahead, you're going to start stepping on people and getting ahead. You know, you got to do what you got to do. But not God's system. If we'll rely on Him, trust Him, depend on Him. Listen, there is no greater thing, saints, than to fellowship with Him. Fellowshipping with Him opens up doors. It opens up your, it builds up your confidence. The more you fellowship with Him, the more you, I'm talking about on the inside of you, I'm talking about faith, it builds that confidence. You spend time in the secret place, things change. It's not the same. Oh, Pastor Chuck, you know, I'm in Christ. You know, I know. I get what you're saying. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Yeah, I get that. But that's the legal side, all right? That does not mean that you're walking in the Spirit. Paul said, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Walk in, yield to the fruit of the Spirit. Yield to God's way. I say to me, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go to verse 1. John 15, verse 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now look at that word. He says that I am the true vine. That means that there must be other false vines. There's only one true vine. There's only one way. There's only one truth. And that's Jesus. He says, I am the vine. Now, he's going to say that one more time in the garden. He's probably maybe in this location because he's evidently there's a vineyard right there. He's going to say that one more time. And you see this in chapter 18, John 18. You know, you remember that? They come looking for Jesus. And Jesus asked them, who are you seeking? And they said, well, Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus replied, I am. That's in actual Greek. There's nothing else added. I am. Now, you remember the Passion? Who was it? Gibson or Mel Gibson? I was waiting on the edge of my seat. It got to that point. You know, they're about to arrest Jesus. And I'm waiting for Jesus to speak those words. Because, man, power left with those words. It says, when he said, I am, what happened? The Greek said they departed to the back. In other words, they were in front of the front seat of the bus and they departed to the back seat. They moved. We're talking 600 plus. Not just a couple dozen. There are 600 men, 600 soldiers plus people. There's a multitude of people right there. When he said, I am, saints, power left. In other words, Jesus is making a statement. Anyway, back to Mel Gibson. I was waiting for him to say that. He never did. I mean, I was waiting for Jesus to say those words and for them to depart from the... It never happened. They didn't do that part. I get so frustrated at these shows that they interpret the life of Christ and they don't get it right. Anyway, Jesus making a statement. I have the power to lay my life down. I have the power to take it up. This command I received from the Father. Boys, God is allowing you to do this. He's letting you do it because you don't have the power. I've laid it down of myself freely. Ha! Wouldn't you like to see that? All 600 of those guys, the clanking and the clattering of all the Roman soldiers falling backwards, departing. Power. When Jesus says, I am, that's God. every branch in me. Now this is why I'm trying to, that's one of the parts of the, every branch in me. In other words, he's talking about the new birth. This is Paul's revelation. He caught on to this. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, there's a lot of stuff right here. I don't want to turn my wheels here. But in, he says, you might as well underline that, in me. That, he's talking about our legal right. I know too many Christians who say they're in him, they're born again, you know, a new creature in Christ Jesus, but man, they sure don't act like it. Right. They're living their own life, their own style, and God's nowhere around. But he says, in me, he says, in me, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, in the Greek, that word takes away means to lift up. Other words, God doesn't give up on us. Now, the Amplified Bible, I think, says it says trims, and that could vary, and I believe that too. Because I watched my dad do this. He had grapes. I mean, we had grapes. And what he would do, especially after a storm or a heavy wind or something, he would go out there. And sometimes, I'm telling you what, there are sometimes those heavy storms did a number on the grapes. I mean, branches hanging down. Well, what does he do? He goes out and he picks up the branches hanging down. He doesn't cut them off. He lifts them up out of the dirt, out of the mud, and he lifts and puts them up over other branches. So now what we got? We got the branch no longer on the ground, but he's lifted it up and put it up not only over the other branch, but now the sun, come on, is getting what? Right directly to the branch that needed it. See, the problem is we give up on ourselves. We get knocked down in life. Bad thing. Hey, we live in a world. Things happen. I don't have an answer for everything. Things do happen. But if we'll spend, you know, in Romans chapter 8, but if we spend time in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, interceding in the Spirit, things work out to the good. But things do come at us. Persecution comes. But we don't want to give up. God does not give up on you. He lifts you up. Why? Why did my dad do it? So that he'd get maximum yield. He wants you to bear fruit. Why? It gives him the glory. He's not giving up on you. Don't listen to what other people are telling. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Oh, you know the Lord's given up on you. No, he has not given up on you. He lifts you up. Amen. And it goes on to say, every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. He lifts up. And there is some trimming. I've actually seen my dad lift up a branch. And it could be like a broken leaf or something. He'd pinch that leaf off, whatever's damaged. But for the most part, he just lifts it right back up. And it goes on to say, every branch that bears fruit. You get that? Every branch, not just some. Honey, it's coming. There is some trimming coming in your life. There are some things. Listen, God does not trim everything out of your life at one time. It's sanctification. It's a step. I've got trees. I have an oak tree that I've been working on for since we've been there, probably 5-6 years. And it, when I first planted it, it had a tendency to go like that, the top, which is not good. So I had to work on that every year to trim the right branches. You don't want to cut too many, but you want to cut. After about 6 years, I finally got the thing going up. Year after year, there's a pruning. That's what the Lord does to us every year. Lord, He'll talk to you. He'll speak to you. You need to get those weights that hinder you, that's hindering you. He'll talk to you. In that still, soft voice, it's nothing. He works with you. Amen. Because why? He wants you to bear fruit. And it goes on. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So already we have two things. We have no fruit, and we have more fruit. So we're going in a progression here. See, a lot of times we get impatient. We just want to load. It takes time. You read the Word of God, almost everything I've read, it's you see progression. It's progression. Seed time and harvest is all about progression. It's not you sow a seed, yep, there it is. It's not how it works. You're going to have to be patient. Allow God to do His work in your life. You're a branch, and He's paid a heavy price for you. For you to be in Christ, He paid the ultimate price for you to be in that position. He's not giving up on you just because you missed it. He's not. Let's go on. He prunes that may bear more fruit. Verse 3. You are already clean or pruned because of... Now, this is how He's going to do it. And listen up. How's He going to trim you up? How's He going to sanctify? How's He going to cleanse you? It is by the Word. By the Word. Not disease. He's not going to teach. Now, you can go through hard knocks. I mean, I get it. But this is his way. His number one way is the Word. He'll shed light. He'll give you revelation. That's why revelation is so important. That rhema word coming alive to you, quickening word. It quickens you. Why? So that faith can grab hold. Faith loves the quickened word. It has to be quickened. That's why we spend time in the Word. That's a big part of the abiding part of the branch. It abides in the vine. Now, there's the obedience to this. Everything I'm talking about, there's always the legal side and there's always the manifestation. There's always, E.W. Kenyon calls it the vital reality side. In other words, you appropriate it by faith. It's by faith you grab hold of. It's by faith. So when we talk, we're branches. The Holy Spirit's in us flowing. He's on all the time. But the question is, are we tapping in on it? The question is, are we using our faith to draw and receive what he's doing the work in you right now? Most of the time we don't realize it, but He's working. Is there a song... Tyler, you say He's working. We don't know. We don't see Him working, but He's working. Holy Spirit don't take time off. He wants you to bear fruit. He wants you to be successful in the kingdom of God. Whatever your calling is, you got to stay in your lane. You don't want to be something you're not called to do. You stay in your lane. Do what you're called to do. He wants you to have success. Amen. Verse 4 says, abide in Me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in Me. That word abides over and over again. I think I got a definition for it someplace. I'm not using my notes very good, am I? The word abide means to stay, to remain in a given place, to continue and live, listen to this, and live in a state of permanent union with Christ through, now this is how you make it a reality, through faith and obedience. It just doesn't automatically happen. You have a part to play. You have a role. And your role, in order to draw from the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to abide. Yes, legally, all of us, if we're born again, we're legally attached, but we're going to have to draw. We're going to use our faith. In other words, our response is to use faith to draw, to bring it into manifestation in our lives. Amen. So we go from no fruit to more fruit. There's a lot of pruning. My dad, we had these grapes, and I was about 8 years old. I guess it's winter time. He pruned those things, and I take grapes very seriously, even back when I was about eight. Dad, he trimmed those things so much, it's like a war zone. Like the vines, everything was on the ground, and it really upset me. Because you took too much. Just like he did when he cuts my hair. You took way too much. When Dad cuts, when he cut my hair, it was done in about 10 seconds. There was no trim. It was, turn your head, turn the other side, that was it. I liked my hair. No offense, Pastor Mark, but I liked my hair. I enjoyed my hair. And I still enjoy my hair. It's getting thinner, but I enjoy my hair. I go, Dad, what are you doing? I asked him, I said, what are you doing? Because it really upset me. I don't remember what he said, but I remember walking away, shaking my head. The guy doesn't know what he's doing. But you know what? That following season, that following year in August came around. We had grapes. I go, man, I guess Dad knows. He knew what he's doing. The father, the vine dresser, he knows what he's doing. He knows what to trim, when to trim, and how much to trim. Just be patient. It may hurt a little bit. Your flesh may not like it. Some things the flesh don't want to give up, but you got to fling those things off. Allow, just follow his leading. Man, I'd get underneath those grapes. There'd be bees, bumblebees, sweat bees, wasps, honeybees, you name it. If it was flying, it was under there. You know, all those years I ate those grapes, not one time did I ever got stung. This is enough for everybody. There was no fighting over the grapes. There's more than enough. You was walking on them. All over the place. I still remember that. Much fruit. Much fruit. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Now here we go. Now we're in the much fruit. That's exactly where we want to be, saints. Now, yes, it's a progression, right? So much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is, now listen, see, this verse 6 is a picture of a lot of Christians today. They're out there doing, I talked a little bit about this before. I know I have family. I have people I know they're born again, spirit-filled, but for some reason, they're doing their own thing. I don't get it. I don't get it. It's like one guy at work I was working with, and he told me he knew I'd go to church. I'm a church goer, and you know, and he said, you know, I don't believe you have to go to church. And I didn't say anything. I was okay. And he said it again a couple days later, like he's wanting my response. And I said, why? Okay, you want to talk about it? Why not? Why don't you want to be in church? I mean, we're supposed to. The Bible's pretty clear about it. We're to assemble together. I mean, what's your problem? He wouldn't give me an answer. I said, okay. Well, you know. Then a little time went on, and he kind of mentioned that again. I go, okay. Again, I go, why don't you want to come to church? Why is it that you don't? What is it? Hypocrites. Now, I was going to say, well, one more is not going to hurt. You might as well come. But I said, okay. Since you got it figured out, I'll let that go. But it's strange, that same person, when they have issues or problems, guess who they call? They call the people who go to church. Now, I come thinking, okay, you don't want to go to church, but you get in a jam, then you call the people at the church, because you're in a jam. Now, that doesn't make any sense. Wouldn't it be better just to be in church, abide in the Word, and just receive 24/7. Anyway, I don't understand it myself, but but see, this is what happens. If anyone who does not abide in me, now this is not God's choice. When you don't abide in Him, that's not His choice. His choice, He wants you to choose life. He wants you to choose the best, right? Blessing and cursing I set before you, but I said, choose life. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out like as a branch. What happens? What happens when you don't abide? You start to wither up. Now I don't care if you're born again, and if you're not a doer of the word, you're going to dry up. Yeah, you may be in Christ, and more than likely you're going to make heaven a whole lot quicker. But that is not a witness. You're not bearing fruit. You're more like a dried up raisin, right? That's not much of a testimony. Verse 7. If you abide in me, now I think there's five IUs or five U's. I got notes, but I'm not going by them. So if you, notice who's this? If you, that's us. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. Now, there's two conditions here. It says, if you abide in me, of course, you know, of course you could be born again, but you can't be doing your own thing. I'm talking about walking in the flesh, acting like a heathen. Come on, let's be honest. You just can't live any way you want. It's called a living, walking, yielding to the fruit of the Spirit. I guarantee you, when you're not yielding to the fruit of the Spirit, you don't smell good. I'm serious. I mean, spirit, you would give off a spiritual aroma, just like natural fruits do. You cut an orange, oh, it smells good. Lemon, you can smell grapes. I mean, all those things, you open them up, they'll give off an aroma. That's exactly how our lives should be. We should be giving off a sweet aroma. Even in money, Paul talks about it. A sweet smelling aroma. Those sacrifices that you give. A Christian who is not walking and yielding to the fruit is not going to be smelling good to God. In other words, he knows you from afar. Here he comes. And God backs up because, but he doesn't give up. Even when people act stupid and they deliberately live a life like that, God's still there. He's ready to lift you up. He's ready. He's patient. But the point is, you can't expect this verse to work for your prayer life if you're not living a holy life. I'm just, the grace people are not going to agree with that, but I'm just going to tell you, you're going to have to live a holy life. It's just part of it. You can't live like a heathen and expect God to bless you. Those blessings, I mean, what? Well, anyway, I'm not going to go there. But two conditions, abiding in him and the words abide in you. You get those two in sync, aligned with the word, and you're going to see results in your prayer life. You don't even have to think about believing. You don't have to think about faith because the word abides. If you have faith, that's not even a question. You'll believe, that's not even a question. Faith will be there. And then you always have to, then there's always the obedience part. You have to walk that out. It's action. Well, I believe God. Well, yeah, James said even the devils believe God. There's sooner or later you have to act. There is an action to it. If you're not going to act, don't blame God. In other words, if you really believed, you'll do something that you couldn't do before. You know what I mean? It's an action. I like this. I'm going to read that verse again. If you believe in me and my words abide, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire because your desire will be lined up with his desire. And it shall be, not maybe, it shall be done for you. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Hallelujah. Much fruit. Now turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. I can go another direction, but I'm not going to have time. Stay connected to the vine. Joshua chapter 1. Verse 8. This book of the law, I'm closing with this. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. So what's he saying? He's saying, talk the word. Right. Talk it. Your confession. Your mouth should be going. It should be moving. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you. Who? You. Who's you? You're the branch. The branch is totally dependent on the vine. But you shall meditate in it, how often? Day and night. Now see, this is the thing about meditation. That includes the speaking too. Now here's the deal about meditation. You could do that on the job. You can do that while you're driving. You can do that any place, anytime. Because what your mind is on Him, you're thinking over and over those scriptures. You're meditating on those scriptures. And I did this at work many a time. I'm thinking and I'll mutter it. That's why it's really what it means too, is to mutter. I'll speak it in a low voice. Those scriptures that I'm standing on, those scriptures that I lay hold of, I'm claiming for myself. So I got it going. Now I can do that all day, any place. No one even knows it. You don't have to get real vocal on the job, right? Whatever you're doing. But you can get it going with your confession, meditation, meditating day and night. See, something about the renewing of the mind. Transformation starts to take place. In other words, if you're believing for healing, you're meditating on those scriptures so much, you don't even see yourself sick anymore. Something's going on. You don't even see yourself broke or whatever it is that you lack. You meditate long enough on those scriptures and something begins to happen in your mind. Your imagination starts to take, hey, man, I don't even see myself that way anymore. I see myself whole. I see myself doing things I couldn't do before. Things are happening. But that doesn't happen overnight. It's a progression, right, saints? It's progression. Let me close. Let me hurry it up here. But you shall meditate in day and night that you may observe. Now here's the do part. That you may observe to do according to all that is written. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have what? Good success. What are we talking about? We're talking about being successful. We're talking about being fruitful. Saints, it hasn't changed. What did God tell Adam and Eve to do? Be fruitful and multiply. It hasn't changed. It's still going on today. God wants you to be fruitful, multiplying, increasing. This is the formula. This, I from day one, this is one of my most, I touch base on this all the time. That last part, it says, observe to do according to all that's written for then. You got to do what the Word says. There comes a point in time you're going to have to act. Now Kenneth Hagin just say this. He said this is the place where a lot of people miss it. I mean, you see this in Scriptures over and over again. Most of the time, Jesus wanted an act of faith. You're not going to get away from it. So in other words, if you can't see very good and you're believing for 20/20 eyesight and you can't see 20 feet in front of you, you don't throw your glasses away and say, well, I'm going to do this as an act of faith. Well, I'm not riding with you. I'm sorry, but you're on your own. Okay? You're wanting full manifestation. It's not there. You're going to have to just start in the little. All right? Don't go hog wild like Charles Caps used to say. Don't go hog wild. Throw out the whole medicine. Throw out your medicine cabinet. You're not even close to being... It's common sense, right? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God wants you to be successful. He wants you to be fruitful. He's not giving up on you. Ah, He'll stick with you. He'll lift you up. And he'll begin to talk to you to get rid of some things. But hey, it's little here, a little there. Hallelujah. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.